Bancroft, Mr. Bratton.
May it please the court, I'm Scott Bratton, representing the petitioner in this case. In the instant case, the Board of Immigration Appeals denied the petitioner's request for asylum because the board concluded that the petitioner did not establish a nexus between the three times that he had been attacked and a protected ground for purposes of asylum. Additionally, the board found that the police conducted an investigation, but they were not successful due to insufficient evidence, and that his family members had remained in his home country after he left for a period of time without any significant problem.
What is the best evidence that the Kazakhstan government was unable or unwilling to protect Guchenkov from these attacks? Were country reports reported? Are you relying solely on the petitioner's testimony about police response?
It's mainly based on the petitioner's testimony. There's not much in the country reports that address that particular issue. I know the immigration judge noted that there was a wave of nationalism in the country at the time, but most of it is reliant on the petitioner's testimony regarding the filing of the police reports after both the first attack and the third attack. After the first attack, he filed a police report and was basically told to go away. There's nothing that could be done. It just happens all the time. After the second attack, he didn't feel comfortable filing a police report in light of what happened the first time when he was basically told there was nothing that they could do. And after the third attack, probably because it was so serious, he did go and file a police report. And the third attack, he was hospitalized for 2 weeks. His liver was ruptured, and his gallbladder had to be removed. So after that attack, he did go and file a police report. And in his testimony, he notes that the police are mainly made up of Kazakhs rather than Russians. And there was nobody, he wasn't able to talk to any Russian in the police department. And he went a total of 7 times to the police department to regarding that last attack. The first occasion he filed a police report, and the last 6 occasions he went to follow up on the police report. In light of his testimony, he clearly was not satisfied that they were doing anything. In the end, the police finally told him his case had been lost, there were no suspects, and they had more important things to do. I don't believe that this is reasonable in light of the seriousness of the attack, and it appears based on the actions of the police through the respondent's credible testimony that the government was unwilling and unable to protect him from his attackers.
He was denied asylum in Canada. Can you tell us anything about that?
There's little in the record regarding his denial of asylum in Canada. What had happened was he initially came to the United States and went to Canada because he didn't know anybody in the United States at the time, applied for asylum. It's unclear from the record the basis that he was denied in Canada. I know he was asked at the hearing why he was denied, and he was unclear as to the basis for the denial in Canada.
I mean, do they have an elaborate procedure like we have here? I'm just curious.
I know very little about Canadian asylum law. I know that they file an application for refugee, and at that point, the record in this case is just unclear as to what happened and what the basis for the denial was in Canada. In the instant case, like I stated previously, the petitioner was attacked on 3 separate occasions, and it's the petitioner's position that there was a nexus between the attacks and a protected ground. Petitioner claims he was attacked due to his marriage to an ethnic Kazakh. He was an ethnic Russian. Each of the attacks, well, first of all, none of the attacks occurred prior to his marriage. The motivation for the attack was clearly not robbery, as no money was taken in any of the attacks. The first time that he was attacked and beaten, he was It was on the day of his wedding. The attackers didn't take his wedding presents or attempt to, even though that they were apparently in plain view. I think that the best evidence of the motivation of his attackers comes from the statements that they made to him. Each of the attacks, they made reference to the petitioner's ethnicity, and also each attack, they made reference to his wife. In a case that I cited in supplemental authorities in a 28-J letter that I filed this week, Bossy v. Ashcroft, 352 F. 3rd, 1133, this court determined that petitioner's inability to identify his attacker is not critical to showing past persecution. And one
what
of the
was that case? I didn't get the filing.
B-A-C-E, the
Ashcroft. Okay, I have it. Thank you.
In that case, the petitioner also was not able to identify his attackers, and in this case, the petitioner didn't know his attackers, but it's obvious that his attackers knew him because on each occasion they made reference to his wife, and they also made reference to his ethnicity. As the petitioner testified to, Kazakhs look different than Russians, and the physical appearance is enough to identify him as being a Russian. In this case, I believe that in light of the evidence submitted and the comments made by the attackers, that this clearly was motivated by his marriage to an ethnic Kazakh, him being an ethnic Russian. Additionally, with respect to the board's brief discussion of his family members remaining unharmed, all of the attacks were focused on him, and the attacks, and the third attack, his attacker said, "We warned you, you don't belong here," and he was told at one point to leave the country in one of the prior attacks. Once he left the country, there was no reason for his attackers to go after his wife or children at that point, because he had already left. That's what they wanted, was him to leave the country. Once he already left the country, there's no reason to believe that they would come after him. There's no further questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bradford. Ms. Wordery?
May it please the Court, my name is Linda Wernery, and I represent the respondent, John Ashcroft. And we ask this Court to affirm the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals. The record in this case simply does not compel the conclusion that the police of Kazakhstan were unwilling.
Yeah, the record doesn't compel the conclusion, but the problem I have is that is the analysis of the record by the immigration judge, which seems so irrational. I mean, this business about how if they were motivated by the fact that he'd married a Muslim, they would have used his name. I don't get that. Where does anything like, where's that idea come from?
I think, Your Honor, what the immigration judge indicated was petitioner's claim is that he was targeted because of something he had done, which is married an ethnic Kazakh.
Right.
And if someone's going to attack another individual based on something they've done, chances are that person, the attacker, would have to know the identity of the person that they're
targeting. That I don't understand at all. I mean, you might have seen this person with his wife or what have you, or heard that. But even if they knew his name, why would they call him by name? That's so strange.
I don't think it's so much whether they use his name during the attack.
Well, that's what he said, though. He said more likely than not, would call him by name. It's not that important, maybe, but it seems so. It seems so strange. Why would anyone say that? Why would anyone think such a thing? And he attaches, they did not know him, but they did not mention his spouse or family. I mean, they're not, what, they're inarticulate criminals or something? What is that?
Well, I also need to point out, Your Honor, that the board in this case issued its own decision.
What does that do? They didn't see the evidence or anything.
You know, I found something a little strange, too. I'm so sorry to do this to you, but the IJ seems to assume that if the petitioner could have relocated to Russia, then he would have no case for asylum here. How do we handle such an obvious legal error? I mean, I can't recall a single case where we ask petitioners to prove that they can't relocate to a third country, let alone Russia, before we allow them to receive asylum here.
Well, again, Your Honor, the board issued its own decision in this case, and it did not subscribe to that holding of the immigration judge. So I think that statement falls away entirely in this case.
That's helpful. Thank you.
I think petitioner's biggest hurdle in this case is the fact that the record does not compel the conclusion that the police in Kazakhstan were unwilling or unable to assist him.
But the police response, particularly after the third attack, just seems so odd. Here the petitioner is beaten so badly. I mean, and the AJ found the petitioner credible, but he's beaten so badly that he loses an internal organ. Yet, the police, they don't come to investigate. The victim has to go to the police after he's released. I mean, is that the usual procedure in Kazakhstan? Will the record tell us? In Chicago, for example, which I don't normally hold up as in, but the hospital would notify the police that they're treating a victim of a severe beating, and then the police would initiate the investigation.
Well, Your Honor, the record's not entirely clear on that. Mr. Govchenkov is not entirely clear. He at one point indicates that he thinks the police did start the investigation while he was in the emergency room. So whether or not an investigation had already been started before he was released from the hospital, Mr. Govchenkov is not clear about that either way. And there was an investigation that lasted over a year. Mr. Govchenkov visited the police station 7 different times. He met with the head of the department twice and met with different officers on the other occasions. He was given a book of criminal suspects to look through to see if he could identify anybody that had attacked him. The fact that
I don't think the immigration judge even, on the one hand, as Judge Rovner said, the immigration judge found Vyshenkov to be credible, but Vyshenkov had testified that, didn't he, that the police told him these things happen all the time, and they have more important things to do, and so on.
As to the first incident in 1991, where he had a concussion, he went to the police, and he testified that that's what they said. But he also, in his declaration attached to his asylum application, said that police also said there was insufficient evidence. Also, in that same document,
yes, the immigration judge refers to that, the insufficient evidence, but. But not to the rest of his testimony.
That's correct, Your Honor. But all of that is evidence that has to be weighed. He also indicated in his declaration that he waited 2 weeks after the attack to even go to the police. So that could go to the type of response he got after that first incident. The third incident, which is the most serious one, was taken seriously by the police. In fact, there's no indication at all that the police somehow gave him worse service because he was married to an ethnic Kazakh.
They lost the file?
Unfortunately, Your Honor, things like that can happen anywhere. There simply was no indication that, first, that inter-ethnic marriages, the police have any views at all on that, or if they did, that they held that against.
Well, realistic, after all, we know they don't like Russians. And,
well, Your Honor, they're
in fact, I mean, the immigration judge seems to concede that. I mean, it's not well written, but he says, you know, considered the inherent plausibility of the respondent's claim, seems to think it was plausible. He was targeted because of his Russian appearance and so on. So,
but, Your Honor, at this point, it doesn't have to just be plausible. It has to be so compelling that no reasonable person could find.
No, that's your point. That's your point that the record doesn't compel a finding in his favor. That's absolutely true. The question is whether this is a rational analysis of the record by the immigration judge, whether you can have any confidence in this in this trier of fact, well, because of the strange things he says and the inconsistency of his analysis. I mean, on the one hand, he thinks there is discrimination. You know, it's like a black person or someone in the South in the 1930s going to the police department complaining that whites beat him up because he's married to a black or a white or something, interracial marriage, and then they lose his file and so on. Well, we'd, you know, one would infer this probably was a phony excuse.
That's possibly an inference that could be drawn, but certainly not
you don't see any effort by him to, you know, draw together the evidence that he gave that the IJ believed and say what that is and then explain why he doesn't believe it. And if all he has to say at the end would be that these people didn't use his name, then you'd realize, you know, that the denial of asylum was wrong, right, if that's all he has going for him.
Well, again, Your Honor, I would emphasize that the government's position is that it's the Board of Immigration Appeals' decision in this case that should be...
You know, what can you do with such a scanty little opinion as the board issue? They don't discuss the evidence.
They make three clear holdings in their decision, Your Honor. One, that in light of the attacks being at night, being when petitioner was alone, or only with his wife, and that he did not know his attackers. Two, that he reported it to the police and the police investigated the case, but simply just had insufficient evidence.
Yes, but that's not a complete... But if you believe him, there's more that's involved here than insufficient evidence. And
but
as Mr. Bratton pointed out, the fact that his family continued to live in Kazakhstan is not very impressive if their goal was to get him out of the country. And I mean, his wife is Kazakh, is a Kazakh, so they like Kazakhs.
But Your Honor, again, the claim is that it was the marriage that caused the attack, and if these unidentified attackers knew that he was married to a Kazakh, presumably they know that he still is. And nothing has happened to the wife or the parents as a consequence. There's also another point to be made, and that is that the wife's family itself was threatening Mr. Gavchenkov.
Of course, that isn't mentioned by the board.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So you can hear it.
You know what bothers me about this case? We have another one later today, Macedonia and Bulgaria. It just seems like it's such a crapshoot here, depending on what immigration judge you get and how sympathetic they are to your claims. I can't believe in this case that 10 immigration judges picked at random would all hear this case and all come out the same way.
I don't know that that's required in the first instance, and secondly...
That's the nature of these things, isn't it?
Sounds like our circuit, doesn't it?
And also, Your Honor, this claim was also presented in Canada, contrary to what Petitioner's counsel said. The record is clear on page 185 that petitioner raised the exact same claim in Canada.
Yeah, but what, do we know anything about the standards or procedures of Canadian asylum law?
No, Your Honor.
I mean, if they have a higher standard for what constitutes asylum, the fact that he would be denied asylum there wouldn't bear on this case at all.
That's correct, if that's the case.
It would be really interesting to find out what, you know, statistically, the turndown in each, you know, of the United States and Canada.
Versus Canada. I believe our rate is more refusals than the U.S., but I'm just going on more recollection.
Are the statistics readily available from Homeland Security or INS, whatever?
There's a website, the Board of Immigrants.
Like the number of asylum applications from, say, like Bulgaria or Kazakhstan, and the number that are granted.
Yes, Your Honor. In fact, on the U.S. Department of Justice, the Board of Immigration Appeals has a website that gives the number of claims for asylum per country and the number of grants. And I can certainly submit that website to the court by letter after argument.
Would you?
Yes, certainly. And one thing that I always try to keep in mind, I think this court has the same perspective, is we only see the denials of asylum, so we never see how they compare to how good the cases are that are granted. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Warnery. Mr. Bratton, how much time does he have? 2 minutes?
First, I would like to clarify his filing of a police report. Initially, after he was in the hospital, on page 21 of the appendix, or page 166 of the administrative record, he testified his father did go to the police station to file a police report, and they told him that to get out because he didn't have a victim. There was no victim there.
No victim. No.
It seems to me that the most reasonable time to investigate something.
I think you've just answered my question.
So
they don't come to the victim. The victim has to go to them.
Yeah, that is apparently that was correct when he went to the police department. With respect to the board's decision, I would agree that there's not much there. There's some vague statements. They apparently deny the claim in large part because they find that there was no nexus between the attack and a protected ground, and it gives three reasons. He was attacked late at night, which I don't see how that's relevant to whether it's based on a protected ground or not.
Well, the idea is it was late at night, therefore he couldn't identify the attackers. That made it more difficult for the police to identify them.
He did not know his attackers. He did not know, the attackers did not mention his name or his wife's name. I don't know why they would necessarily have to mention his name or his wife's name. Obviously, they knew that about his marriage because that was mentioned on each of the three attacks. So I believe that's something that's important as well. The board never specifically states that the government was not unwilling or unable to control his attackers. They give one sentence. He reported to the attacks, but the investigation was not successful due to insufficient evidence. That's not exactly what was testified to at the hearing. They lost his file. They said they had more important things to do. So I don't think that's necessarily reflective of the evidence that was presented. And the third reason, they state that his respondent and his family have not encountered any problems except for playground skirmishes. But the board's decision in this case is not very thorough, and I would respectfully request that the board's decision be vacated and the case remanded back to the Board of Immigration Appeals.
Okay, thank you,
Mr.
Bratton and Ms. Warnery.